I'd like to thank Nick for asking me this morning to share God's word, and it's always I guess I call it a privilege or definitely a responsibility to stand before God's beautiful people to share his word, because there's nothing greater in this life or in the life to come, in eternal life, than his word. And this morning, I'd like to share with you something that is not new, but maybe more of an encouragement that we all should know and realize each and every day. Have any of you ever watched the show The Voice? Yes? Okay, well, I'm going to share on The Voice this morning. But it's not The Voice. It is The Voice. And I'm referring to the voice of God. A lot of times we refer to, talking with God, listening to God. Did you hear from God today? Or I heard from God today. Or I would like to hear from God on this issue. But we never really refer to it as the voice, you know, the voice of God. But God calls it his voice. We're going to spend a little time in the Old Testament this morning. Is that okay? If you turn to Genesis chapter 1, and we'll go from Genesis all the way through to, you know, Malachi, and we'll read the whole thing. No, we won't do that, I promise. Genesis 1, verse 15. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And I think I went to, it's supposed to be 2:15. Sorry. They were lights. They were good too. And God is light. But go to 2:15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, that's all God told Adam. In one sentence, he had a conversation. Would you think that's a lengthy conversation, according to conversation standards? No. Would you even think it's moderately long? Would you say it's like very, very concise? Yeah, very short. Very short conversation. And all he did was to ask, he asked Adam, actually commanded Adam to do one thing and to stay away in the same sentence from that thing that he commanded him not to touch, okay, or to eat. Yeah, thank you. I'm going to get to that. To partake of that fruit, to eat, okay. So go to chapter 3 now. Jonathan's on the ball this morning. Verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye, Jonathan, touch it, right, lest ye die. Now he didn't really say that. So that was something that she really screwed up there. And verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. The serpent here is having a lengthy conversation, I would say, okay, to get his point across, his lie across. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now that was something that God said don't do, right? He totally ignored what God said, turned the other way, and did exactly the opposite. God only had one sentence, and it was very clear to Adam. God made it very clear, no ifs, ands, or buts. But here he is, ignoring the whole command that God had given him and went the other way. You know, Adam obviously was human, and we sometimes do the same thing, don't we? We got to realize every day that we are here on this earth to obey God. And sometimes we fall short of that, as Adam did. And continuing in verse 7. And the eyes of them were both opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the what? The voice of God. Here again, God is speaking a second time. This time, it's going to be a lot longer. It's not one sentence. God will make it a lengthy conversation. They heard the voice of God, of the Lord God, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord and Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Now, this is a certain point here that we really need to understand. When we are in our daily lives, you know, walking and just working and being with friends and coming to fellowship and eating supper and bowling, you know, whatever you do with your life, there's always the voice of God. Always. And sometimes we don't really want to hear from God. Either because we are stupid or our subconscious mind takes us somewhere else. Most of the time we're stupid, okay? See, God's made us smarter than that. He told Adam in one sentence what to do, what not to do. He'll tell us, and he doesn't have to have a very lengthy conversation with us. But if we're in tune with his voice, we can get it the first time. And he won't have to come back and reiterate and over and over and over again, okay, if we listen the first time. Every morning when we get up out of bed, we should make it a point to not hide ourselves from God. Adam and Eve hid themselves. Let's not go into the sewing business and, you know, start getting leaves and start sewing aprons for ourselves. Let's listen to God the first time and obey his voice, the voice of God. Because there's going to be benefits to that, which we're going to go through. So it says, they heard the voice of God, verse 8, walking in the garden. They hid themselves, verse 9. The Lord God called unto Adam and said unto them, where art thou? This is a figure of speech, as if God didn't know. Okay. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. Adam heard the voice. Do you think he heard the voice the first time? He did, in that short one sentence conversation. I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. This is what happens when we don't obey God. One of the consequences is fear, because we know better. We know better to listen to God, and then when we don't obey or don't listen or hide from the voice of God, fear sets in, because that opens up. The adversary just needs a toehold to get into our lives. And once he does, it sets in fear. We're afraid of things. We're doubtful. See, we consider all kinds of things that may happen to us that are not godly. It just happens. The thoughts start coming at us from all directions because of the world that we live in. See, and it says in verse 10, I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. How many times have we caught ourselves hiding from the voice of God because of certain situations? I have. Okay, and think everybody on this earth has. And God said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Good question. Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, the woman who thou gavest to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me. He tricked me. He coerced me into eating this fruit I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent. Now see, God's having a conversation with everybody here. Everybody involved. He gets everybody involved. Okay, because Adam didn't obey the first time. It could have been just a sweet thing between Adam and God obeying. But no, Adam had to disobey, turn his back on God, and go with the world. God said unto the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Unto the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." And he said unto Adam, he said, "Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife," wrong voice, "and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." Quite a consequence for turning your back on God, huh? Do you think God's changed? Do you think his attitude has changed? Do you think that his voice has changed? No, not at all. He hasn't changed, has he? So do you think maybe there would be some consequences coming our way, even in our personal lives, for turning our back on God, for not listening to the voice of God, for hiding from God? And it all comes down to not wanting to be in the presence of God. And I know in this morning, one of the first things in a prayer that I heard was being in the presence of God, which really blessed me. Okay? And that should be our goal, our striving, our effort every day, and striving. As soon as we wake up, today I'm going to be in the presence of God. Today I'm going to pay attention to the voice of God, the voice of God. Would you go to Deuteronomy, chapter 30. So hiding from the voice of God would really be to be hiding or try to hide from the presence of God. Now, does God know where you are? Like he said, "Adam, where art thou?" Does God really know where you are? Yes. Physically, spiritually, mentally, in every way. He knows every facet of our lives. See? And hiding from the presence of God is something that we really don't want to do because of the consequences that may follow. But more than that, we don't want to do it because we love God. Consequences are secondary. The number one reason why we should want to be in the presence of God is because we love Him. See? There's no secrets from God. God laughs at our secrets. Well, you know what? I don't know. He either laughs or cries. He either laughs or he cries. Maybe he does both. I don't know. Deuteronomy. And in chapter 30 of Deuteronomy, let's start in verse 1 here. We may skip around a few verses. "And it shall come to pass when all these things are come upon thee." This is, I'll give you a little summary of this. Moses is speaking his last oration to Israel. And he knows that he's not going to be going into the land that God had promised them. So he's talking with his people. "And it shall come to pass when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse." There, see, there's always a blessing and a curse. Blessing and a curse. Good, evil, black, white. Always. Okay. "Which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee. And shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt," what? "Obey his voice, according to all that I command thee this day. Thou and thy children, with all thine heart and with all thy soul." Now, where could we hear the voice of God? Okay, other than audibly hearing the voice of God, which is available, where else could we hear the voice of God? Holy Spirit, in someone else, maybe, right? The Word of God, the voice of God, okay? There are different ways. It doesn't have to be audibly, but audibly is available. Here, Moses was saying, according to all that I have commanded thee, all right? Then, verse 3, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. If any of thine be driven out unto the outermost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. It's interesting because Adam and Eve were driven out of the Garden of Eden. Okay. Verse 5, and the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it. And he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, and that thou mayest live. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies and on them that hate thee, which persecuted thee. And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord. This is what he's concerned with. He brings it up several times. And do all his commandments which I command thee this day. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy land, for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice, there it is again, the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, for this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldst say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear of it and do it. Let's go down to verse 16. Or verse 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God. This is why we want to be in the presence of God, because we love God. See? There really should be no other ulterior motive. The other things are consequences, the things that would happen to us, the things that may happen to us. God is full of compassion. I'm not saying they will. You know, but we live in this life this world, this age, which is run by the adversary. Okay? He's still God of this world. I haven't read any of your headlines in the newspapers that saying that that has changed, and I don't think any of us have. Okay. To walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But, this is a big one, if thine heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce, or I declare is the word, unto you this day that ye shall surely perish. What did he tell Adam? Yeah, Adam did the same thing. He turned away, see, and he started serving other things. And that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. This is so simple. You know, we make it difficult, but have you ever seen the old show, Let's Make a Deal, and there's door number one, door number two. God's saying, listen, behind door number one is life, and he's telling, and behind door number two is death. So the guy comes up and says, okay, will you choose door number one or door number two? Let's see now. well, what's behind door number three? You know, we can be smarter than that, and we are. God didn't make us stupid human beings. I said that earlier out of jest that sometimes we get stupid when we don't listen to God. But God didn't make us stupid. He didn't make us idiots. See, He made us to be smart and smart enough to listen to His voice. So we choose door number one, which is life. And that's what He's saying here. I set it before you. You choose. And the choice is whether we're going to listen to Him or not, whether we're going to pay attention to His voice or whether we're not going to pay attention to His voice, whether we're going to wake up in the morning and decide, I'm going to hide from God today, which we really can't, or I'm going to stand in the presence of God today in all that I do. This is nothing new that I'm sharing here. It's just an encouragement that we all need to hear a lot. Would you go to 1 Samuel? Give you a few examples here. First book of Samuel, chapter 15. Saul, King Saul, was commanded to go and destroy the Amalekites. And he was to destroy the king, the sheep, everything about the Amalekites he was to utterly destroy. That was the command. Verse 9, but Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. In other words, he turned his back on God. And it grieved Samuel. Samuel was the prophet. And he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel. And behold, he set him up a place and has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul. And Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. And, I could just say it now. I have performed all the commandments of the Lord. I sure have. He probably got a big cigar in his mouth, Sure have, Samuel. Did he perform all the? No, he didn't. But he was very proud, wasn't he? Yep, he was. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Samuel said, well then, Saul, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. They have brought them from Amalekites. Yeah, pushing the blame. For the Lord spared the best of the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. We have totally annihilated them, Samuel, so don't worry about that. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And eventually, we don't have to read on, but he took away the kingdom from Saul, okay, and turned away from Saul. The Lord God turned away from Saul. And that was the consequence, because of what Saul did and turning his back on God. And that was God's prerogative. That was God's choice to do that. Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter, let's go down to, stay in the same chapter. We'll read a few verses here. Verse 19. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. That was a lie. He didn't obey the voice, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me. Verse 22. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? This is what God really wants from us. Just to listen to Him, to obey Him, to not hide from His presence, see, to not hide from His voice. Behold, to obey His voice is better than sacrifice. And to hearken to his voice better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Would you turn to 2 Samuel chapter 11? Look in verse 3. And this is regarding David. And David sent and inquired after the woman, Bathsheba, talking about Bathsheba. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. And David sent to Joab saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. Now see, this is premeditated evil. It's going to turn into murder, Jimmy, right? Premeditated. You know, today everybody's concerned about this trial and everything that they got their verdict last night. And most of the world, or most of the population is talking about that around here. Yeah. We're not going to talk about the voice of that judge or the voice of those. We're talking about the voice of God this morning. See? This is a lot more important than anything else that happens in the world. See, the voice of God. This is what I'm trying to emphasize this morning, is if we turn away from the voice of God, then we turned away from God. We're trying to hide ourselves from God. And we may receive consequences for that. See, our love should draw us to want to be in the presence of God. Verse 7, when Uriah was come unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. David said unto Uriah, go down to thy house and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. That's a heck of a way of saying it, right? A mess of meat. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all his servants and his lord, and went not down to his house. See, the whole story was that David wanted Uriah to go to his wife, okay, so that David's sin could be hid, so David's evil could be hid. But he wasn't hiding from God, was he? Uriah had enough sense to be and dedication to Saul and loyalty to David, to not do that, because all of his men and all of his brothers were out there fighting the battle, and here's Uriah in the lap of luxury at home with his wife, and he wouldn't do it. See, he stayed there and continued his loyalty in that way to David and to Israel. So, we're going to continue here. In chapter 1, verse 12, chapter 12, verse 1, right. I need new glasses or what? No. Okay, verse 1 of chapter 12. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David. You know the story. I'm not sharing with you anything new about David and Bathsheba and all that. Okay, David had Uriah killed. That was the sin that God was really concerned with, is that he had a murder committed to hide his own sin, to hide his turning his back on God. Now, verse 1, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David. He came unto him and said, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up. And it grew up together with him, with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that doth this thing shall surely die. and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man.
Yeah, talk about boldness. You know, as we once heard before, Nathan's head could have been chopped right off because of that. David was king, right?
So Nathan had a lot of, let's keep reading here. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house, thy master's wives, into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight?
Despise the commandment of the Lord, meaning he just turned his back away from God.
Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor. And he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly,
and that's where I want to get to. David did whatever he did secretly. But he did it secretly in the eyes of who? People, you know, but not secretly in the eyes of God. And sometimes we try to do things secretly. But does God really know? As I said, God cries at our secrets. He laughs at our secrets. Maybe he does both. But God is, we can't hide our secrets from God. We could be secret with each other, but not with God.
But I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord.
And that's the good part about this record. I love it. Is David right away recognized it, and he confessed his sin. See, and that's the beautiful thing about this record with David, is that he didn't do what Saul did, but he turned right back to God and said, and he repented. See, and God had mercy on him.
Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah. Here's some good things. Verse 23. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my what? Voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you.
This is what God's saying. Can it be any clearer? Obey my voice, walk in the ways which my voice has commanded you, and it shall be well with you. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. God says it shall be. And when God says it shall be, it what? It shall be. Zephaniah chapter 3.
All right, where's Zephaniah here? It's Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah. Zephaniah 3 and look at verse 1. Woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God. Her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bones till the morrow. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. The just Lord is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his judgment to light. He faileth not, but the unjust knoweth no shame. I have cut off the nations. Their towers are desolate. I made their streets waste, that none passeth by. Their cities are destroyed, so that there is no man, that there is none inhabitant. I said, surely thou wilt fear me, thou wilt receive instruction, so their dwelling should not be cut off. However, I punished them, but they rose early and corrupted all their doings.
Rise early and don't corrupt your doings. Rise early and decide to walk in the presence of God and listen to His voice.
Therefore, wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy.
That's God's indignation. One day that will come to pass because of the world not obeying the voice of the Lord.
I'm going to cover a few more verses in the New Testament, and I'll end with that. Matthew chapter 3. And what I want to point out here is one record in each of the Gospels.
Now, you know that all four of the Gospels always don't cover every single event or saying or prophecy or sometimes one gospel will have one thing and the next gospel will omit it but add something else or subtract something and not have something that would be in the Gospel of John that was in the Matthew and so on.
So, did I make that clear? Matthew chapter 3. This one is in every gospel and it's pretty important too. Matthew 3, look at verse 3. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, talking about John the Baptist, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight.
Prepare you, it's saying you prepare yourself for the way of the Lord. Well, who is the way? Jesus Christ is the way. He is the way of the Lord. You prepare. And that's why I said earlier, every morning we should prepare ourselves for the way. We should prepare ourselves for the Lord, for Jesus Christ. You know, in healing, in all kinds of deliverance, in speaking encouragement to others, in comforting others, in giving to others, all of it requires Jesus Christ. All of it. We can't do anything on our own. Nothing. See? It's always in conjunction with the Lord Jesus Christ.
The voice of one crying in the wilderness.
Prepare, John was saying, prepare yourselves.
In Mark chapter 1. Verse 3. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Luke chapter 3. Verse 4. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his path straight. And again in John chapter 1. Verse 23. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. You know, do you think God would not put it in if he didn't think it was important? You think he would just omit some of those things if it wasn't so important to understand? He wants us to know. And it's in the beginning of the Gospels. He wants us to prepare for the voice of the Lord each day. He wants to prepare us to prepare ourselves each and every day we wake up to walk with God, to be in the presence of God, to not hide from God, to not do things in secret. Okay, because God knows anyway. Okay.
in John chapter 5. By the way, this word for voice that we just read in these Gospels is the word Greek word phoné, which comes from the root word phos, P-H-O-S, which is to have something manifested by light. See? And God will manifest Himself. He is light. And His voice is probably just the simplest way He can manifest Himself to us. Look, we got the Word every day. This Word hasn't left. We have each other with the Spirit of God dwelling in each one of us. See? He will manifest His light to us in any way that He can and any way that's available. In John chapter 5, verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour has come. The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. How powerful was this voice, even to raise the dead? For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself. And He hath given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear His voice. They shall hear His voice. All in the graves, and they'll rise. That's a powerful voice. Chapter 11 of John. And one example is with Lazarus, verse 39. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Lazarus was dead for 4 days. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard Me. And He prayed to God, and then He said, verse 43, and when He had thus spoken, He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. He manifested that light by speaking with a loud voice. And we'll close in Hebrews chapter 3. How powerful and how important is this voice of God? Chapter 3, and look in verse 6. But Christ as a son over His own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit saith, today, if ye will hear His voice, today is always today. You will hear His voice. Harden not your hearts, as in the day of provocation and the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted Me and proved Me and saw My works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known My ways. So I swear in My wrath, they shall not enter into My rest. And then again in verse 15, today, if thou wilt hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation. And chapter 4, verse 7. And again, He limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. As I started at earlier, I asked you if you think God has changed. Do you think so? He hasn't changed. Do you think He wants to change? No, I don't think so. I think He wants to continue to bless us. See? And He doesn't want us to receive possible consequences for turning His back on Him. See? So the exhortation is something that we should realize every single day, is that when we wake up in the morning, we should want to walk with God. We should realize that there are no secrets with God. that we can keep from God. We shouldn't want to hide from God's voice. And to walk and to manifest the light of God and to walk in His power, it's going to take the voice of God. It's going to have to take the voice of God. Otherwise, we're walking on our own and listening to other voices. There are only two voices in the garden. All right? God's and the devil's. Okay? Only two. And we have to come to the decision in our own lives, which one are we going to listen to? Thanks.